Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome.
Welcome
to Warriors Wrap-Up.
And Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick and he finds it for a dunk.
Jam! Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
They'll bleed out some clock with Steph handling. Guarded by Nunn. Blows past him. Kicks it into the corner for Wiggins for three. Rain dance for Andrew Wiggins. Timeout, Miami. The Warriors up by six with 40 seconds to go.
And the Warriors would win it by 8, 120 to 112. We welcome you in. Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson and Ryan Covey. 888-957-9570. Where does that one rank, Warriors fans? Because it looked like had the potential to be a lost night, finding out just before tip-off, no Draymond Green in this ballgame due to some ankle soreness. And the Warriors sluggish, the Heat taking Stephen Curry out of the game, trailing by 19 in the first half, by 14 mid-fourth quarter. But the Warriors, in a gutsy effort, would rally to force overtime. A lot of game balls to go around in this one, Ryan Covey. Kent Bazemore among them. But if you give Steph Curry enough opportunities to knock you out, you're going to get knocked out, and that's exactly what the Miami Heat did in this one. The Warriors force overtime, and then a couple of knockout blows from Steph Curry, the one you heard there from Andrew Wiggins, and the Warriors wind up getting one of their best wins of the season in this ballgame.
Yeah, and a lot of adulation and platitudes to go around, and what a closeout by the Golden State Warriors in this game. And, you know, they got off to a tough start. Miami certainly imposed their will with their size early in this game. And, you know, look, the Warriors just couldn't hit the water if they fell out of a boat with the three ball. And you knew, because they didn't have an interior presence, they were going to need to get, it was going to need to be a big night with the three if they were going to have any shot. But they ended up getting that going, and they found their footing defensively. I thought the Warriors switched terrifically tonight, and the way that they helped and rallied, and the way that they set screens for each other offensively, particularly down the stretch, that was a team win as team wins go, JD. And I just love the fact that these guys were out there picking up Steph Curry, their leader, who has just, you know, thrown this team on his back all year long, JD, and carried him to so many victories. Didn't have a shot going tonight. So many different players stepped in and were huge. Oubre, Wiggins, Kent Bazemore. There were so many different guys that were instrumental in just giving the Warriors a shot down the stretch. And then Steph Curry makes a few big buckets when it matters most because, well, he's Steph Curry. And now the Warriors. Hey, who saw this coming, JD? They're three games over 500. Bust out the cigars, baby.
That's right. For the first time this season, the Warriors are three games over 500 at 16-13. The victory tonight vaults them all the way up to seventh in the Western Conference playoff race as Golden State passes, for the time being, the Denver Nuggets, who were beaten in Washington by the Wizards. And you mentioned the defense in the second half as the Warriors outscored Miami 59-44, and it really was defense turning into offense. And it was a 20-6 run for the Warriors after they got down 14 with 6:40 to go. It was so funny. Andre Iguodala knocked down that three, And Steph Curry looked at Iguodala like, there's no way you're going to make this shot. And like so many Warriors opponents over the years looked at Andre Iguodala almost in disbelief. Like, dude, you did not just make that. Like, we're trying to give you that shot. And Iguodala did it so many times for the Warriors. He put Miami up 99-85 in this one, again, with 6:40 to go. But from then on, it was 20-6 Warriors to force overtime with the ball game tied at 105. And a good night for Steve Kerr as well. He let Kent Bazemore basically play out the string, and Bazemore gave him an incredible effort tonight. Knocked down 4 3-pointers, 26 points, 10 of 19. The Warriors were searching for somebody to help, you know, come up with some of the load, offset with Steph struggling to shoot the basketball. Really big nights from Bazemore and Pascal in that fourth quarter.
Yep.
But Oubre and Wiggins throughout the game, they hit threes tonight, and it helped the Warriors really prevent this game from turning into a blowout. It always felt like, hey, this game's a little closer than it should be. And the Warriors were able to make a run and get it tied for that very reason.
Yeah, and it was funny. You know, coming down the stretch, I thought, you know, as the Warriors were closing in and, you know, they finally ultimately tie it, and it was such a long time coming. And I thought to myself, well, if this game was 47 minutes, they probably weren't going to, you know, they weren't going to win it. If it was 49 minutes, they probably weren't going to win it. You know, if Oubre hits that shot, obviously it would have happened at the right moment where the game would have been 48 minutes. But again, obviously he doesn't make it. Thankfully, though, the ghost of Kendrick Nunn didn't come back to haunt him there at the buzzer, which obviously would have been a game-winning layup there. I thought, oh, that can't go in, right? And alas, it didn't. And then it was just a Mason's convention early into overtime, as, you know, both defenses really tightened down, and, you know, the Warriors were having a hard time making a bucket again. But you felt like once the dam burst and the Warriors finally got the lead, you know, the Heat were like a fighter that got out to a nice early lead in a fight. You know, maybe knocked the Warriors down early, but then as the fight wore on, you could tell they started to wear down, and, you know, the Warriors just kept hanging in there, didn't get knocked out. And then, you know, by the later rounds, and then this was a 12th round TKO, it was like finally they had just a couple of more punches, they had a little bit more gas in the tank, and, you know, by the time it was all said and done, you know, they ended up overtaking them and getting it done in overtime. So yeah, man, I think Kerr also too, I know you were all over this, JD, Steph Curry checking back in with 7 minutes left tonight instead of six, instead of his normal, because he figured, look, if we're going to make a run, we need to do it now. So if the Heat go up, you know, if they pour it on, then I'll just sit Steph for the final 3 or 4 minutes and we'll head out for the road trip. But if we can keep it close, I'm going to go ahead and go out and try and win this basketball game tonight. So I love the way Kerr handled Steph's minutes in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was a surprise. He came back at the 7:22 mark and the Warriors were down 11. So the game wasn't over, but it felt like it was really an uphill climb, a slog at that point. So he took his shot in the ball game tonight, and it wound up paying off as the Warriors shortly thereafter would go on the 20-6 run to force overtime. And then, you mentioned Kendrick Nunn missing the shot there at the end. It looked like that one was going down. The Warriors maybe dodged a little bit of a bullet on that play. It looked like Miami at one point. It sounded like Eric Spoelstra was almost wanting them to call a timeout, and then they didn't get the timeout, and then they pushed it and ended up getting a very good look. I mean, one of the big concerns down the stretch of this ball game, once the Warriors got really within striking distance, it was, can they get a stop? And the Warriors wound up getting three consecutive critical stops after the Adebayo dunk there put Miami up 105-101 with 1:36 to go. So they got a miss from Adebayo, a Jimmy Butler missed fadeaway, and then the Nunn missed driving finger roll there in the closing second. So it was, could the Warriors get a stop after they had so valiantly come back? They wound up getting three of them, and then both teams were just plodding along dead tired, I thought, at the beginning of the overtime with no buckets in the first 2:32 of the overtime. And until Jimmy Butler hit a layup that put Miami ahead. But again, it was Kent Bazemore. Bazemore, a couple of layups to tie it and put the Warriors up. Adebayo would tie it on a layup. And then the big haymakers from Steph, from Wiggins, and then from Steph again to put this game on ice. just a hell of a freaking win for the Golden State Warriors on this night.
Yeah, and I would put this up there, JD. When you look at all the factors at play, I tweeted this out. This the win of the year for me. You know, the Laker win was great. Clipper win. I mean, they've had some really cool moments this year. But when you think about the fact that, you know, they haven't been three games over 500. You got the news Draymond wasn't playing right at the start of the game, you know, right before the tip-off. Steph Curry has, you know, for by his standards, you know, a horrible night shooting the rock. And so many different guys step up. And it was just – it was such a collective team win. And these are the kind of wins, JD, like when you're looking for buy-in, right, and when you're looking, you know, when it gets down to crunch time, this team's already shown that they will give you a full 48, right? And guys like Kent Bazemore really personify that. Pascal, I mean, Damian Lee didn't have a great night tonight, but he's got a lot of that. He brings that to the table. You know, certainly Kelly Oubre Jr. has really settled in. And the thing I admire about Oubre is when he was doing all that missing, he wasn't letting it affect him on the defensive end. So there's a lot of belief in that locker room, and it starts with Steph Curry leading the charge. And I think this was a classic example of, hey, man, our leader doesn't have it tonight. We don't have our other leader in Draymond Green. Everybody's counting us out. We're going to go out there, and we're at least going to fight. If we're going to go down, we're going down swinging. And even had the Warriors lost this game tonight, I still would have appreciated the effort. But these kind of efforts can turn into wins in the fourth quarter of NBA games because guess what, JD? Eventually, Steph Curry's going to start making some threes, and he did.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happened. It was you know, Miami couldn't put the game away, and the longer the game went, the more you thought, all right, well, Steph at some point is going to get hot and knock a couple of these down. And if he does, it's going to be lights out for the Miami Heat. And that's exactly what happened as the Warriors outscore the Heat 15-7 in the overtime to win this one. 120-112 in a ball game. Add it to the list of comebacks for Golden State. They did trail by as many as 19. That was late in the first half of this one. They trailed by 15 in the fourth quarter, actually, with 9:24 to go. But really, the true story of this one was down by 14, 6:40 to go on that Iguodala jumper that Steph was left in disbelief after Iguodala hit it and maybe had something a little bit to say to Steph. The Warriors go on the 20-6 run to force overtime from there. And this is the quintessential game, Covey, where if the Warriors don't win and you start looking through the box score, this is the kind of game where Warriors fans are going to say, well, Steph didn't have it initially. Where's Oubre? Where's Wiggins? Right. And tonight is a night where those two in particular get a ton of credit for helping the Warriors stay in the game because they were efficient shooting the ball from three. Wiggins 4-for-9, Oubre Jr. 4-for-7. Wiggins was a plus 25.
Right, he was a monster
in this one.
Yeah.
He was really freaking good in this game. But for the crowd out there that points to these guys need to step up specifically when other things are going wrong, they delivered in a big-time way tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, Wiggins has had his two-way game pretty well dialed in this year. But I think, and Jim was talking about this on the pregame the other night, there's nights where you wish he could give you a little more scoring. If he could score 20, if he can average 20 in an NBA season, where's those 30-point efforts, right? I mean, you could basically just calibrate him in for his 16 to 22 points on any given night, right? But I think it was the timely scoring for him tonight and again, the three-point shooting. Because when you're trailing, I mean, look, you know, when you're down 14, you're down 19 as they were at one point, you're going to need some three balls because you know Miami's going to have some possessions. You know, they're going to get inside. Miami scored, 56 points in the paint tonight, I think it was. Like, they're just going to have some moments where you're going to give up some easy buckets. So if you're going to try and come back, you're going to need to make some threes. And, yeah, this was, you know, kind of one of those secondary players stepping up to the forefront nights. And look, I think Wiggins deserves a lot of credit for his game all year. But tonight, He was an animal, JD. I mean, he was defending guys down in the post. He was on Bam a couple of times. He got switched onto him. He was fighting for rebounds. They were fighting for loose balls. Yeah, him and Oubre, for sure. They go about it in very different ways, right? I mean, you know, Wiggins is kind of more that quiet, methodical type dude, where Oubre, he's blowing kisses after he makes threes. You know, both, as long as they get the job done, it's all good. And I think that they give this Warriors team, you know, especially Oubre, kind of with the way he plays, you know, a little flamboyant, gives them a little bit of swag, right? And I think you need to have that attitude because, you know, look, this is the NBA, man. This is the highest level of basketball there is. So, you know, you gotta play with a little bit of attitude, a little bit of edge. If that's, you know, if that's who you are as a person, that's who you should be as a player. And I think, you know, credit to both of those guys, JD. I thought it was terrific efforts. And I mean, look, right on time, man. They needed every bit of it into regulation. And then it was, you know, Steph time and overtime, as you might expect.
He's Ryan Covey. I'm John Dickinson. It's Warriors wrap up on 95.7 The Game, 888-957-9570. That's the phone number to shoot us a text or give us a call as the Warriors get it done tonight in overtime, 120 to 112 as they beat the Heat. Golden State now 16-13. It winds up being a really good homestand overall. That's the other part of this win for Golden State. The seventh chance for the Warriors tonight to get to 3 over .500. Golden State finally gets it done, and it winds up being a 3-1 homestand as well, which, you know, you look at this one going in and you thought Orlando and Cleveland were the two games you really need to win. And, you know, with Miami struggling at this point, they walk out of Chase Center and head for Sacramento tonight at 11-17. When you look at where they are at this point versus where Brooklyn has been of late, and they picked up another impressive comeback win last night, even without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, Miami was this was the target game. This was going to be the game that was going to determine the homestand really from the jump. And so the Warriors' ability to rally and get the job done, it becomes all the bigger for the Warriors, because now you're looking at a really, really quality homestand. Let's hear from Steve Kerr here following this one as the Warriors get the job done. Coach Kerr addressing what happened and what went right for the Warriors in that fourth quarter.
Just a great comeback. Baze was fantastic, as was Eric, and the Jayhawks were great tonight. You know, Kelly and Andrew both had big nights, hit big shots. But that, you know, that the last few minutes of the fourth, we were just scrambling out there. I thought Baze kind of led the charge. You know, he really made some huge plays for us and kept us in it. And then, of course, Steph, you know, this is so typical of Steph. He's just the kind of player and the kind of person who can be in the midst of, you know, one of his worst shooting nights of the year and still hit, you know, three enormous shots to help us win the game. So really an amazing team win and a lot of fun.
All right. Yeah, a lot of fun. And Steph, man, you keep giving him chances and he's gonna beat you. I mean, it's just and tonight is one of those games, Covey, where you look at the numbers and it's 8 of 25 and it's 5 of 20. But the Warriors winning tonight enhances the Steph Curry for MVP conversation because he hit those two knockout blows and because the Warriors got the win to improve their overall record. Because now you go back and, Curry, you know, you look at the other 10 games where the numbers statistically were better than tonight, but the overall record helps hold up that MVP resume.
Absolutely. I mean, he was, you know, putting up a run of 10 games that we hadn't seen in the NBA scoring-wise in efficiency since Michael Jordan in the mid-90s. So that kind of stuff speaks for itself. And then, you know, Steph Curry's by and large a three-point shooter. So three-point shooters in general are going to have off nights. And it really, you know, I guess you become a, quote, volume shooter at that point, but it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And, you know, what the lasting images of this game tonight are going to be Steph Curry. Robinson hit that three to cut the lead back to three, it was Steph hitting a big three to put the Warriors back up six, right? I mean, that was when you knew, okay, send everybody home, pack up the kids, let's roll out. So, these are absolutely enhancing moments for him. And also what it does along the way is it moves the Warriors up the standings and gets them three games over .500. If Steph ultimately is going to be the MVP this year, the Warriors are going to need to be in a better position than they find themselves now. But the good news is I think this is a team getting better. I mean, really, JD, since the Phoenix game, right? I mean, you go back to that Phoenix game, you know, they're 10-9, they got touched up there, and then since then, there's only been one game. Now, I know they're, what, 6-4 since then? But three of those losses, Boston, San Antonio, and Dallas, those were all very winnable games for this team. They didn't do enough executing down the stretch. But by and large, the last 10 games, this has been a very different Warriors team. They're basically a threat to win every night.
Yeah, and this was, you could make a case, their worst game in that stretch, and yet they were able to come back and just pluck their way down the stretch. I mean, this was a gutsy effort. I know, you know, both teams basically had 9 players tonight. But, you know, for the Warriors to find out, they looked, I thought, a little bit out of sorts, just getting the news and Draymond basically being ruled out, you know, as the game was about to start. He wasn't on the injury report or anything throughout the course of the day, but because the Warriors didn't have a shoot-around this morning, he really didn't tell anybody, couldn't get it checked out until he showed up to the arena, and the Warriors were able to examine him, and Steve Kerr told the story in his post-game Zoom session, said, hey, don't be a hero. If, you know, we can sit you out, we'll get you right, and let's try to put this thing in a position where maybe you miss one game so you can play the next 4. Don't try to push it tonight where maybe something happens and you end up having to miss the next 8 or 10.
Sure.
So the Warriors playing it cautious, but they looked out of sorts early with Mulder getting the start. And, you know, we've talked a lot the last 2 days, Covey, about how much Draymond impacts Steph, and you know, you take away, you know, Steph's, you know, running mate and his partner in crime out there with a team as conscientious as Miami to try to really make life hard on Steph, and it's not surprising to look at, you know, the fact that maybe Steph struggled a little bit tonight until down the stretch and in the OT.
Yeah, there was just kind of a reacclimation. And you look, Miami, Eric Spoelstra is a really smart coach. I mean, they were not giving Steph any room to operate. And I know a lot of teams, they want to throw doubles at Steph, but Steph is a slippery character. We know that. He's usually able to still find some space, A, when you have Draymond Green out there, and B, when you're playing teams maybe not as committed on the defensive end. Well, Miami, they're absolutely a quality defensive outfit, and so they were running 2 bodies at Steph routinely tonight. And look, there just wasn't a lot of space for Steph. He was probing, right? He was rolling the perimeter. They tried him off ball a few times. There was that one sequence after the I think it was after Kerr got that challenge, and it was an opportunity for maybe the Warriors to tie. There were so many different plays in this game, JD, but it was Curry playing off the ball where Wiggins committed the turnover. I mean, they tried a lot of different things to get Steph going. The Warriors collectively, and Steph included though, they just missed a lot of open looks from three, and that's what kind of kept me confident that they could find a way back. Is, hey, look, eventually some of these shots are going to start dropping, and Miami should have won this game by 20 points, and the fact that it was kind of slipping away from them, you could kind of sense the seeds of doubt started to get planted as well. So it was kind of the perfect storm, and it took Steph a little while to get acclimated to know Draymond, but you give him credit. Steph's been acclimating to new circumstances all year, as this Warriors team has. They haven't had bigs, guys have been in and out of the lineup, and yet here they are, 16-13, just bobbing and weaving along.
All right, he's Ryan Covey, I'm John Dickinson, 888-957-9570. We come back, we'll hear from Steve Kerr, we'll hear more from Kent Bazemore as well, and I want to rank the top 5 Warrior wins of this season. I think we can do that here now, 29 games into it. Now, I think this game tonight definitely would be in the top 5. I know, Covey, you said you put it at 1. I don't know that I'm going to go that far.
I'm a prisoner of the moment, JD. I'm a prisoner of the moment. You know me, I'm very impulsive.
We'll give at least our top 3, if not our top 5. If you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. We'll keep it rolling here until about 11:15 on 95.7. The game is the Warriors get it done over the Heat, 120-112, and you heard it all right here on 95.7 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Steph holding high up top on the left side. Now Nunn crowds him a bit. He's driving right over to the wing. Backs it out again with a left-hand handle. Crossover dribble. Fires a contested three. Nope. Cash me out one time! Wow! 118-112. Stephen Curry started this game 2 for 15 from downtown. He's hit 3 of his last 5, and all 3 have been incredibly difficult.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, one of two big-time threes from Steph Curry in the overtime. Kevin Dana there on the call tonight, filling in for Tim Roy here on 95.7 The Game. Steph with the three to put him up 3 at 112-109 with 1:15 to go, and then with 17 seconds to go, the 28-footer, the step back to put the Warriors up 118-112 and effectively end the ball game. Two just major daggers surrounding the Andrew Wiggins dagger, and the Warriors from 19 down in the first half, 14 down in the fourth. They beat the Heat tonight 120-112. 888-957-9570. Let's get to Andy in the city here, Covey, before we get into our power rankings of the top five Warriors victories of the 2020-21 season. What's up, Andy? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up.
Hey, what's going on, JD, Covey? Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to talk about really quickly, like, super hyped after this win. I mean, it was a win where, like you, JD, you know, once you found out Draymond was a late scratch, it was like, oh no, can we really win this game with literally no big men on the floor? And somehow we ended up doing this. Kent Bazemore, huge net game tonight. Steph doing Steph things. But Kelly Oubre, I mean, I know he had that, like, chance to win it in the fourth before OT, but at the end of the day, he had 23 points. He was out there balling, playing great defense. And I feel like he's not getting talked about enough. I mean, these last games that he's been having, 17, 17, 14, and tonight 23, they're pretty impressive. So do you guys think that he's not getting the love because it's what we brought him in here to do? That's what his job is? Or maybe people are starting to see, okay, he's fitting better into the system. So we just have to, you know, expect this from him on a nightly basis from now on.
Yeah, honestly, Andy, I think he got off to a bad start, and thanks for the call. And I think once you get off to a bad start, it takes you a while to get back in the good graces of the fans. I mean, for me, it's as simple as that. And, you know, every time he's been, unfortunately, Covey, in this situation now where he gets off to the horrible start, and then he's been the easy player to look at on the box score on the nights where the Warriors haven't played well. Because seemingly when the Warriors have been at their worst, you look at the box scores from those games and it's, oh, Kelly Oubre was 1 for 8 from 3. Oh, Kelly Oubre was 2 for 12. So every night the Warriors don't play well, he almost had become synonymous with that. So it takes a while to work your way out of that. Right now, I think Kelly Oubre, though, he's putting his head down and he's playing. And if those games keep piling up and the Warriors keep winning, then I think the conversation at some point will shift. I will say this. Andy mentioned the wide-open three that he missed with a shot to win it in regulation. He also let Duncan Robinson get open, helped off of him to allow that three that, you know, when the Warriors were up 6 after Curry hit the first three, yeah. Duncan Robinson hit the three to cut it to 3 before Wiggins hit the next three to put him back up 6. But, you know, so he did make a couple of mistakes and missed that shot, but I feel like he's working his way back into the fans' good graces.
Yeah, I mean, usually there's been a straight line between games that Kelly Oubre doesn't play well and the Warriors don't win. That's been pretty evident, and early on it was pretty clear he was scuffling. I give him credit, though, when the offense wasn't there. I felt like the effort on defense was still there. You could tell it matters to Kelly Oubre, and it's a lot easier for me to get behind guys that I can tell they want to win. You know, it he's got that passion, and I love guys like that. And he has been playing a lot better lately. I don't think there's any doubt. Unfortunately for Kelly, if we're looking to throw a bunch of adulation his way, it's also coincided with a time where Steph Curry is on a pretty impressive 10-game run. Draymond Green is getting double-digit assists routinely, and so there's a lot of more, I guess, high-profile guys on this basketball team that tend to get a lot of the credit first, and rightfully so. But look, Kelly Oubre, last couple of weeks, I don't think there's any question JD has gotten much more comfortable. His three-point shot's coming around. It'd be hard to be worse than it was early in the year, but Kelly Oubre's games come around, and look, the Warriors are doing more winning than they are doing losing right now. So I think if Kelly Oubre continues to play well, or at least on an improved trajectory, I think the Warriors can keep winning basketball games. He's pretty integral to what they do on both ends of the floor. And again, tonight he was terrific. So this was a positive for Kelly Oubre. But like you said, he just still is just every night, even when things go well, there's that one moment. I mean, How awesome would that have been for Kelly Oubre to hit the game-winning three tonight and this thing don't go to overtime? I'm not saying he had a great game, and I'm not throwing any shade at the guy. Just it's kind of fitting that Kelly Oubre just still hasn't had like that one moment yet, JD. And he's already had like a 40-point game, but he still is just missing that one moment. Maybe it's coming. I hope it is, because I really like Kelly Oubre. I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, and I mentioned the mishap there as he left Duncan Robinson. That was between the Wiggins three that put the Warriors up six, and then the second Curry three. Just want to clarify that to real quick there. But, yeah, that's one of those plays where if Steph, rims that second three out and the Heat go down and tie the game, and maybe we're still playing in a fifth overtime right now at Chase Center, we're talking about things in a different context, even though overall Kelly Oubre did put a positive imprint on the game tonight with his 23 points and 4 of 7 from 3 and 9 of 15 overall in just under 44 minutes as the Warriors get it done 120 to 112. It's Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game with J.D. and Covey. We'll hear a little bit more from Steve Kerr, some from Kent Bazemore as well here. But let's rank these wins. I know, Covey, you said tonight is number one, and I'm holding you to that. I'm not going to allow you to get to revise it or anything during the break. I went through during the break, and I figured out where this one pencils in, and I came up with five. I'm going to let you go first.
Okay.
I'm going to let you go first and just run through your top five and the reasons why, and then I'll give you my five as well. And if you want to weigh in at 888-957-9570, we still got maybe 15 minutes or so. So feel free to jump in and chime in. Covey, I give the floor to you for your top five Warriors wins of this season.
All right, to build the hype, JD, I'll go in ascending order. Number five, Chicago.
Number five.
Thank you. At number five, Chicago. I mean, look, Warriors, Damian Lee hits the game-winning three. Warriors, came back and played a good second half of that game. And if Damian Lee doesn't hit that three, Warriors start 0-3, and who knows where we're at. So that's number five for me. Number four, that Dallas game where the Warriors had nine healthy bodies. Mavericks really needed that game, and the Warriors find a way to get it done shorthanded. They beat Dallas, and what did they hang 147 on them that night? So that's number four for me. Number three is the Clippers rally down from 22. Steph gets 38, and that was just a big win at home on that initial homestand to really get the season off to kind of turn the tide for the season and beat a quality team, which a couple of those things they hadn't really had the opportunity to do yet. Number two, the Lakers rally on MLK Day. They had been lost a couple games in a row. They were down 19, and that was, Draymond had a big time second half in that game, and anytime you beat the defending champs in their house on a holiday, that's big time. And then tonight, I'm holding to it. It's number one. Steph has an off shooting night, no Draymond, and the rest of the boys step up, and the Dubs find a way to get to three games over 500 for the first time all year. That's my top five. That's the definitive list, JD.
Okay, I believe it or not, we've actually got four of the five that are the same. But only one of them is actually in the exact same position. There is a one that I put on the list that you did not, and that was my number five. My number five, number five for me was the Steph Curry 62-point game. Going back to January the 3rd against Portland, the Warriors were able to beat the Blazers 137 to 122, and Steph just an epic performance, career high 62 points, 8 of 16 from 3, 18 of 19 from the free throw line. And the reason I picked that game, the individual performance from Steph, because that was really the night where he showed everybody, okay, I'm here. Like, I'm here, and I'm going to be a bad man from now on this season, and we aren't going to wind up having some chump, you know, punk season, because I'm not going to let it happen. And look, the Warriors, think about it, and here's, I'll give you a little more depth on that. The Warriors were 2-3 going into that night. They had gotten blown out in the home opener on New Year's against that same Portland team. And, you know, for me, that was the first night where the Warriors beat somebody good, you know. And I know Portland, you know, you look at Portland now, they're 18-10 now. I know they were probably right around the same record at that point. In fact, they were. They were 3-2, and the Warriors were 3-3. So not much of a difference at that point. But the Warriors hadn't beaten anybody yet. It was Chicago, Detroit, survival. That was the first night this season where I was like, damn, the Warriors actually have some life. Like, this team could be something, and if they were going to do it, it was going to be because Steph was going to do just incredible things and maybe play at a level that we haven't seen before. And on that specific night, Steph did it with the 62 points. So I put that one at number five. It eked out your number five, which is the win in Chicago a week prior. My number
that
four,
was my number six game, by the way. Sorry, I just want to point that out. That was my number six game. So I was on it, but yeah, go ahead, baby. My bad.
All fair. Your honorable mention game. My honorable mention game was the Chicago game, obviously, because things could have gone completely awry if they don't win that game.
Totally.
So there is some importance there. Number four, we had the same one, the blowout win at Dallas. Back on February 4th, where the Warriors went small ball by necessity with nine healthy bodies, and they ran Dallas out of the gym in the second half of that ball game on a night where they really needed a win. Number three for me is tonight. At home. And the reason it's tonight is because tonight was a game that, I'll be honest, I wrote this game off.
Yeah.
I thought this – I have said this a lot about, you know, game seven of the finals in 16 – like, I didn't think the Warriors were going to lose the championship at any point that year until Kyrie Irving hit the three. I didn't think the Warriors were going to win this game at all until Stephen Curry hit that first three in overtime. Like, I thought, well, gutsy effort. They came back. Awesome. But I still felt like, even in the overtime, until Steph hit the first three there to put them up three, that they were going to win. And that was okay, because they didn't have Draymond, and they got down 19, and it just wasn't going to be their night. But to come back from 19 down and to do it on a night where Steph didn't shoot the ball well, aside from a couple of big shots in the overtime, to get the contributions from Oubre and Wiggins and Bazemore, and to just have it be so gutsy when you find out minutes before tip-off that you're not going to have Draymond Green, that vaults it all the way up to number three for me. Two is the Clippers game on January the 8th. You come back from 22 down against the Clippers. And again, that was another game where the Warriors were all right, who you beat. You know, that
right.
Portland game was a nice win, but the Clipper game was the Clippers. And they had their guys, and the Warriors come back from 22 down, and the bench really put an imprint on things. So that's number two, because you did it against one of the big boys in the West. And then number one is the 19-point comeback against the Lakers down at Staples Center on the MLK holiday. I mean, the defending champs, in their building, it was really that first big breakout. Kelly Oubre was awesome with the national stage watching, you know, on the MLK holiday in that late night game in LA. So you beat the defending champs when you could have been under 500 if you lose that game. And I think we were all kind of bracing for, oh, the Warriors are probably going to dip below 500, so they're going to have to get back on track moving forward. To get that game on that night, to me, was number one for all of those reasons. So great conversation. It's interesting. We did have four of the five the same. And if we'd extended it out of six, we would have had six for six the same. But a lot of big wins for this team in the first 16.
No question. And look, they've got 16 of them. And, you know, like Detroit, you know, the two wins against Minnesota, you know, the two wins against Detroit for that matter, you know, I guess the Orlando win. I mean, you know, they won ugly that night. The Cleveland win the other night. I mean, they were never going to be in the running, right? You know, there was even only one or two other games that I even considered. You know, winning ugly against Toronto, I thought was big. The wire to wire win against San Antonio, but see, the reason why this game tonight is so important for me, because I agree with you. I felt like, you know, it, too many times, okay, the Heat, because we know they just, they've got a lot of really good players. And outside of Goran Dragic right now, they basically hashtag full squad, right? And this was such an important game for them because they had just lost to the Jazz and the Clippers, and you're seeing the Warriors shorthanded, and, you know, you should be able to just kill this team down low. And, you know, Steph's having an off shooting night. I mean, the Heat really tricked this one off. So the way I look at it is, coming into the season, my recipe was, well, the Warriors need to be good against bad teams, and they need to be good in close games, right? And the one thing of late, you know, the Warriors, they've beaten bad teams, they've had some comeback wins, but they've lost some close games lately. And over time, that stuff tends to balance it out. But I mentioned, you know, the San Antonio game, certainly, you know, the second Dallas game, even that Boston game. They were all very winnable games, and they weren't able to get it done in, you know, when it mattered most down in the crunch time. Meanwhile, the wins that they've had, you know, the Dallas win, the other Spurs win, the Cleveland win, they've been smoking teams. So this was one of those, hey, look, if the Warriors are going to overachieve this year, whatever your standard is, if they're going to be in the playoffs, they're going to avoid the play-in tournament, you have to win close basketball games. And so tonight, this was one of those, all right, man, the door's open. And I think Steve Kerr recognized that. And I love, too, JD, that this was the same Steve Kerr that, what, just you know, a little over a week ago said, I'm, quote, not going to chase wins this year. I think he chased this win a little bit tonight. And I think he felt the vibe of his team that, man, these guys are laying on the line with our you know, our leader having a tough shooting night. So let's go for it. Let's, dare I say, chase this win.
Yeah, and he chased it from behind. I mean, that was the other thing. I mean, they were down 11 when Curry came back in. I think he could have made a case tonight that you don't do it. Like,
totally.
I would have been more apt to do it against San Antonio when it felt like that game was right there than doing it tonight. But he did do it tonight, and it wound up working out. But in that moment, I actually thought of the San Antonio game. Like, really, you're going to do it tonight, but not the San Antonio game? Like, well, and look, it worked out, but, you know, I thought it was going to be an uphill climb. Go ahead.
Well, I think the rationale was, look, we're down, what was it, you said 11 at the time, JD? I think the rationale was, if we're going to get back in this game, we need to have a big next couple of minutes. So
no doubt.
Let me bring him in now. And if the Heat push it up to 15, I'll just pull Steph out in 2 minutes anyway. So, you know, whether I bring him in with 6 minutes or 7 minutes, we need to make our run now. And then if it's close down the stretch. Now your point's well taken, which is, if the Warriors do make the run, Steph is going to play those minutes down the stretch either way, right? So you're going to end up playing him more minutes, thus, quote, chasing a win and extending Steph Curry in a night where, you know, you're down 11 as opposed to in a seesaw battle in a very winnable game. But I do think he had every intention, if the Warriors didn't, you know, cut into that lead and be within striking distance within even like 2 minutes, Steph was coming right back out.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point. I think you nailed it. Whereas in the game against San Antonio, you bring him back early, you know he's playing the last 8:30. And then maybe if that game goes to overtime, even more beyond that. Tonight, it's more, all right, I'm going to take my chances. If it doesn't work out, he's going to end up playing maybe 4 minutes, and then it's going to be a wrap at that point. But, you know, him able to go tonight and play what wound up being basically the last 12 minutes of the ball game tonight, the 7:22 plus the 5 in overtime, you know, it winds up working out that he didn't play a couple extra minutes maybe in that game because he had to play a few extra in this one, and maybe there'll be another game down the line because he played a few extra in this one that he doesn't. It all goes hand in hand. As long as I feel better about the San Antonio game now that they were able to get this one, because I'll be honest, this one to me tonight feels like the Warriors stole it. It feels like the Warriors stole it tonight. They got one back. For all the 3, 4, 5 games that Warriors fans may have up on the board that say, oh, I could have got that one, should have got that one, might have had that one, tonight was one that was in the other category, and the Warriors took one of them back. So if you believe those things even out for most good teams, tonight to me was one of those games where it evens out. Let's get to Donnell. Donnell in Oakland, you're up next here on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, thanks, fellas, for taking my call. Man, first of all, how great is Steph, man? I mean, this dude was struggling, and when it's money time, he hits the shots. And he's been doing that since he came into his greatness, the unanimous MVP, all that. This win thrust him into that real conversation of who's the MVP. You know what I'm saying? three games over. And for me, I think that game where he went for 62, you got to look at where they was at, right? They was like about to be down like four games. They was going to be like 2-4 if they had lost that game. He had to come back and let folks know that, yeah, I'm here. And you don't give no hope for this season if they go ahead and lose that game when he comes back and he doesn't go for 62. So for me, yeah, that's the number one game of the year to kind of let it know and let the league know that, yeah, I ain't been here, but I'm back. I got 62 on y'all. Y'all can't really see me. And then Draymond doing his thing. You know, you can rank them other games. It validates that Laker game win and also against the Clippers. And even tonight, like, he really thrust himself into the MVP conversation because there's no Draymond. And we've been heaping praise on Draymond for coming back and getting in shape and doing his assist thing. And, yeah, he don't score, but you know what I'm saying? He's the man. I really love Draymond. He's kind of like my favorite player behind Steph. But, man, come on, man. These cats, they believe now. That win, 62, they believe. And that's really pretty much all I got to say, man. Steph is the man.
Good call. Appreciate the call, Donnell. Yeah, I mean, you could make a case for it. There's no doubt. I mean, you could make a case that was Steph, you know, just, again, putting everybody on notice that this year wasn't going to be last year. And by the way, in conjunction with that, tonight was win number 16. So the Warriors in 29 games have won more than they did in 65 games season ago. I think we all knew that one was coming. But yeah, the Warriors getting that one out of the way pretty quickly here.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, now we can just charge ahead, JD. They've left 2020 in the dust like all of us wanted to do in life, right? 2020, see you later, baby. Now onward and upward for the Golden State Warriors. And look, I love your call, JD, and I agree with what the caller said. This absolutely enhances Steph Curry's MVP resume. And while it doesn't really matter at the end of the day, you know, this is a team sport, and Steph Curry will probably tell you the MVP doesn't mean a lot to him, but you know it does, right? Because this is Steph in this next chapter. And I just think he's hell-bent on showing the entire NBA that this Warriors team isn't done competing for hardware and isn't done making run at championships. And once he gets his Splash Brother back next year, it's going to be on and popping.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt. And look, I'll just give you my top five in the MVP in no particular order. And just because I happened to be thinking about this tonight, because as the Warriors game was on, I was watching the end of the Portland New Orleans game, and Damian Lillard went for 40 and 16 assists and hit a big shot late, and they won, and he's doing it, you know, for an extended time right now without CJ McCollum, without Yusuf Nurkic, and we both kind of thought, hey, you know, they might go into the tank here, and they've actually gone in the other direction because they were not playing great D and they were kind of around 500. They're all the way up to 18-10 now, which, you know, you think about what the conversation would be with the Warriors if the Warriors were 18-10, you know, right now.
Right.
I mean, it would be, damn it, you better put Steph in that conversation. So I think Lillard and Steph both are in my top five with Embiid and Jokic and LeBron James. And I haven't given it enough thought to really rank them 1-5. I know you said the other night, Steph's your number one right now. Maybe that'll be a final word conversation. But to me, that's the five as we've sort of gotten deeper into this thing over the course of the last maybe 10 days to 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's a strong take. I mean, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, there's a lot of dudes playing some great basketball right now, right? I mean, you know, Donovan Mitchell isn't exactly having a ho-hum season in his own right, you know?
Yeah,
you're right.
They've won 19 of 20.
That's all, just 19 of 20. He's leading the charge, and they've won 19 of 20, so there's that. And you know, they've got, the best record in the NBA right now. So I think Donovan Mitchell, there's a strong case to be made there. But yeah, no, I think that would be the big six. That's the six pack right there. So you know, we could I think that's certainly a final word topic for tomorrow night, JD.
Let's get to Robin here, and then we'll hear from Kent Bazemore as well, and maybe from Steph Curry, but the conversation's been really good tonight. Robin, you're up next here on 95.7 The Game. Robin, don't tell me you thought the Warriors were losing during this ball game tonight. Don't tell me we shared that moment.
Yes, and let me tell you, I called in. I haven't watched a game. I listened to it on the radio. I really miss Tim Roy tonight, but I listened to it on the radio. JD, do you know how aggravating that is, especially when they're losing? And every time I would hear, because I'm working, I kept hearing, he's missing. Goes down the court. He puts it up. He's gone. It's not. Over and over and over and over. And then the announcer was like, why would Damian Lee foul him? And he's 30 feet out. Oh, I mean, you could hear the dread in his voice, okay? To say tonight, but I just wanted to call you and tell you, yes, I thought they were going to lose, and it's even more aggravating when you listen to it on the radio. Great win. Peace out, you guys.
Thanks, Robin. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it is aggravating when you're listening to it. But, and I would say, Robin, if you recorded the game, you know, this is the beauty of it. Now you can just set it up. I don't know. Maybe you watch the second half if you're Robin tonight. Maybe
fourth
you
quarter.
Just watch the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Maybe you even just go to about the 6 minute mark of the fourth quarter when the Warriors are down by 14, and you just run back basically 11, 12 minutes of action from there.
Yeah, when Coach Kerr decides to have Steph come on back into the game, why don't you just go ahead and roll tape from right there? You'll be glad you did.
Let's get to M Squared. M Squared is up next in Dublin on 95.7 The Game. Hey, M Squared.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
Got it.
Hey, I got to tell you, I watched the entire fourth quarter standing up alone, screaming in my living room. I'm gonna keep this short tonight because I'm still amped up and I don't want to say anything wrong on the air. But the one comment I want to make, and I think it'd be interesting to get you guys' thoughts on this, is watching, you know, Wiggins and Oubre, Pascal, and all these guys. I think it was actually perfect that Steph had an off night, much as I like to see him go off. I thought it was great that he had this off night, because sometimes these types of games give everybody that capability, or, you know, that right to play. And I felt like, you know, Bazemore stepped up tonight. These are the guys that we were really thinking were going to play big when we had them, you know, when they signed in the offseason. And I guess when I look at this, I think about the fact that the Warriors are still learning how to play together, and the lack of continuity and the lack of camp and all those reasons, you know, you could kind of make excuses as to why they haven't come to that place yet. But it seems like if they played together for another 50 games, this might be what we have. And that's really exciting. And kind of the last comment I'd like to make, and I'll just keep saying this all year long when I talk to you guys, people got to respect Wiggins. I mean, tell me what other small forwards in the game you would want outside of Durant on this team right now. And I'm sure there's a handful of them that could be in the conversation. But Wiggins' defense, it is not what they advertised when he got shipped over here from Minnesota. This is not the guy I was expecting to see. People got to respect that dude. And with that, I'm out.
Appreciated, M Squared. Two things for Andrew Wiggins' game that I think the Warriors bought low on, not in terms of the contract, but just in terms of the reputation. They bought low on defense, believing that he had the physical tools to be a good defender. And under Tom Thibodeau, he actually was a good defender the year when they had Jimmy Butler and Towns and all those guys, and Thibodeau was there before it all, you know, went out of whack the next year and everybody got fired or traded. But other than that, he's been an awful defender, but he's always had the tools. So I think the Warriors bought low believing that they could basically fix him up into being a really good defender, and that's exactly what's happened. The other part of it is the three-point shot. Like, if he and I look at it tonight, and, you know, he winds up 4 for 9 tonight from three, and if he can be in the 37% range from three, 37, 38, right around there, and significantly more consistent than he's been throughout his career, those two things alone, even if he's averaging 18, that's going to be exactly what the Warriors need. Forget about this year even. That's what they're going to need next year when Klay comes back and this team starts building back toward maybe being a legitimate contender. So I think the Warriors deserve credit. And, you know, another maybe topic for tomorrow is how's that D'Angelo Russell trade looking right now? Because he's hurt again, and they are a mess, and the Warriors could thread the needle and wind up maybe getting the fourth or the fifth pick in the draft, as it looks like Minnesota's going to be maybe the worst team in the NBA. So not to get too far on a tangent there, but and it's a lot to chew on, but the defense and the three-point shooting, to me, were two areas where the Warriors bet that they could make him a better player and that he would work to become better in those two areas, and they've both come to fruition, and it's been a big key to the whole thing being a success.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And look, Andrew Wiggins' talent could never be disputed. He's been terrific on both ends of the floor. And look, Minnesota, that's as dysfunctional as it gets. And look, Andrew Wiggins is culpable in that as well. Like, when you're one of the faces of the franchise, it's up to you to change the direction and change the fortunes. It just all went wrong, right? And, you know, Tom Thibodeau moved on after, you know, they were a playoff team in 17-18. What were they, 47 and 35, I think, JD? So, you know, they were one of my picks to take a big jump at 18-19. It didn't happen. Everything blew up. Jimmy Butler won it out, and it just kind of soured from there. So, you know, a change of scenery. Clearly, we see this in sports all the time, man. Has done Andrew Wiggins a ton of good. And from day one, they said, be a defender. Come here and impose your will on the defensive end. Use your length. Use your athleticism. He's done that, and I think he's fitting terrific. And, yeah, man, the Warriors right now, they're crushing that trade. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, you just look at – I mean, the Warriors are fortunate to have, you know, to have not gotten themselves stuck with D'Angelo Russell as an untradeable player, to put it bluntly. And because he's – you know, we throw that injury-prone thing around a lot. I mean, he's injury-prone. So for them to be able to flip him into somebody that could be a better fit just positionally, look, both contracts were going to be both contracts. So I think the Warriors even just giving themselves a shot on Wiggins to maybe turn around certain aspects of his game. It was probably going to be a win there regardless. But when you look at the way that he's played so far this season, it's been a bigger win. And then, oh, by the way, oh, yeah, they might end up with the fourth or the fifth pick in the draft, because Minnesota right now looks like they're in big-time trouble. Yeah. Let's get to a couple of cuts here before we call it a night. Kent Bazemore after the ball game, and it was a great night for Kent Bazemore, 26 points off the bench, 10 of 19, 4 of 7 from 3. Kent Bazemore asked when he decided to take the game over by the great Marcus Thompson tonight.
It's nothing that you think. You just kind of let the game play out itself, and you're giving a lot of attention to Steph and kind of staying at home with Kelly and Wiggs and, you know, EP out on the perimeter. And, you know, I saw a lane, you know, against smaller guys and got some good finishes at the rim. Even a shot there at the end, you know, that Oubre had in the right corner was a great look. So, you know, it's just being opportunistic, you know, just staying within yourself, you know, not trying to do too much, and you just take what the game gives you.
Now, he did kind of joke. He did kind of laugh a little bit initially when Marcus asked him that question, but then he gave a real serious answer, like, yeah, man, this is what I saw and why I took this thing over.
Yeah, no, that's – hey, it's all good. Marcus said it kind of tongue-in-cheek. I love Marcus, man. He's such a good dude, too. And just – you know, he was asking that question to get a, you know, a nice, fun response out of Kent Bazemore. And, look, Bazemore, he kept it real, man. Well, you know, sometimes you gotta take over the game, right? And look, Bazemore is a second time around dub. They got a lot of love for Bazemore here in the Bay, and he plays with a lot of fun and joy and energy, man. I love watching guys like that, and he was all over the place tonight, JD, and they needed every ounce of his contribution, and he left it all on the floor. I love me some Bazemore. Bazemore is official. That's what I tweeted out. He's all right in my book.
Yeah, and look, Steve Kerr called him a wild card early on in the season, and I think, you know, that's exactly how he's played. I mean, he's somebody that should be in the rotation on a night in, night out basis. I mean, if you're going to have 10 players that are going to play every night, 9 or 10, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say he needs to be him and Damian Lee. Need to be the regulars among, you know, those backup wings, and maybe Mulder needs to be a part of that in certain nights as well. But he was, you know, there are nights where he kind of surprises you just when you don't think he has it in him.
Right.
And I think maybe on nights where the opponent doesn't think he has it in him, he can kind of go on a little stretch of playing exceptionally well offensively and getting to the basket, and he can knock down some threes. So, yeah, he was huge for the Warriors in this one tonight, knocking down the four threes. He played 38 minutes. And, you know, before we hear from Steph Curry, another guy that we talked about a little bit in the first segment, because we've talked obviously about Steph enhancing the MVP conversation with the Warriors winning and the couple of clutch shots he hit late. We've talked a lot about Oubre and Wiggins and Bazemore, who were the big three next to Steph. But Eric Paschal is the other one. I mean, Eric Paschal played his best game in weeks, yep. And it was really the fourth quarter. Eric Paschal came into the game late in the third, and he wound up playing at the five spot the remainder of the game. So he ended up playing the last basically 19 minutes of the game tonight, and he had a little push in the fourth quarter that was as well as he's played again in weeks, where they've been talking about, gosh, when the bigs come back, is he going to be out of the rotation? He needed it tonight. The Warriors needed it tonight. And I do think a player that's become a little bit maligned of late, Eric Paschal, he deserves a little bit of a hat tip or a game ball here tonight on Warriors wrap up. Oh,
I think that's a great call, JD. And he came in and really helped stabilize down on the block. And let's give the Warriors some credit too. I mean, we know that they are at times addicted to fouling. Jimmy Butler had a stretch of what, five straight games of double digit free throws. Jimmy Butler didn't get to the free throw line tonight. He was about to, but then Steve Kerr, the challenge master, challenged that call just inside of 5 minutes and ends up getting the play overturned on the foul call on Wiggins against Butler. So no free throws for Butler. And I thought Paschal, there was a level of intent tonight, right? He made some buckets. He ended up 4 of 5. He also got to the free throw line, only ended up going 3 of 6. He missed a couple, missed an and one there that I could remember for sure, at the stripe. But I thought he was terrific down the stretch. And look, no Draymond, no Wiseman, no Kevon Looney, no Marquese Chris. Somebody's got to play the damn five. And Paschal, had made a name for himself earlier this year playing the small ball five. So it made sense that if they were going to make a run, it'd probably be with Paschal playing there. At least he's a guy that's got some experience in that role. So good on him for coming correct tonight and just in a nick of time too.
And he had a couple of buckets there in that range that prevented it from getting back up to 20. The Warriors
no doubt.
Stayed in that 15 to 10 to 14 range until the Warriors had the 20-6 run to tie it. And, if he doesn't do that and it gets up to 20, then we're talking about the Warriors probably playing out the string and living to fight another night.
Timely twos.
Yep, big-time timely twos that prevented it from being ball game over. Let's hear one more Steph Curry cut before we call it a night here on Warriors wrap-up, as the Warriors do improve to 16-13, 120-112 the final. Here's Steph on what the Warriors can take from this ball game, battling through all the misses as a unit.
It just gives us a chance to win 3 in a row for the first time this season, so we're excited about that. It's the little things, and obviously with how the game went tonight, with Draymond being a late scratch, we were shuffling around trying to figure out rotations. And it was weird because we got a lot of open shots all night, myself included, and just couldn't hit the broad side of the barn. But we scrapped and we competed, and defensively down the stretch gave ourselves a chance to keep it close and build momentum and get back in the game and then obviously win. So got to carry that, on the road with us, and we have a prime opportunity, Friday, Saturday to keep it going.
Yeah, battled, scratched, clawed, grinded. I mean, pick whatever you want. I mean, gutsy. I mean, that all of those things apply to the Warriors' win tonight. And now they've got a shot here over these next couple to really make that push. I mean, you get the three, and now you're playing Orlando. I know Orlando's got Evan Fournier back from when they played the Warriors a week ago. But then Charlotte, we'll see what happens. I know there is some belief that maybe that game in Charlotte will get postponed because the Hornets are dealing with contact tracing issues. But the Warriors have a shot here with these next four on the road to work their way up the Western Conference standings, and that's what the gritty, grinded-out effort afforded them with the win tonight.
No doubt. 3 games over .500. Now you get on the road. I think 3-1's a distinct possibility on this upcoming trip. You just got to take them as they come. And right now you'd even take 2-2. I mean, let's be real. But this team, it looks like you're going to be getting some bigs back this week as well. So hopefully Wiseman and Looney will be available at some point on this trip. Good on Steve Kerr for holding Draymond out tonight. And you get the best of both worlds. Dre gets the rest and Warriors get the win anyway. So, hopefully reinforcements are on the way. And this team's going to have a nice flight. 3 games over .500, feeling real confident about where they're at right now. And let's be real, JD, regardless of the outcome of this season, wherever this thing's headed, this is just fun. And Steph Curry is the leader of the basketball team. He's having a lot of fun right now, playing with a ton of joy. And these guys are falling in line behind him. It's a joy to cover this team right now. Who cares where it ends up this year? 16-13. So what are we, 29 games in? I'm having a blast, partner.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun this year to this point in the season. There's no question. And the Warriors now, 8 games to go before the break. 7 of the 8 are on the road. You got the 4-game trip, the 1 game against Charlotte, and then the last 3 before the break are going to be on the road. So it is going to get a little bit tougher in that sense for the Warriors. Great stuff tonight, my man, and we're back at it tomorrow. 6 o'clock, full 4 hours of the final word here on 95.7 The Game.
Let's get it, baby.
All right, looking forward to it. That's going to do it for us. For Ryan Covey, I'm John Dickinson. We thank Sterling. We thank Ryan Mauser. We thank Bobby Spang as well. Again, we'll be back tomorrow with the final word, full 4 hours from 6 until 10. We're also back on Friday for Warriors basketball as the Warriors take on the Magic. That's a 2:30 Warriors Live with tip-off at 4 o'clock, and then we'll have Warriors wrap-up and a special edition of the final word on Friday night as well as the Warriors tip off the road trip. That'll do it. Warriors get the win over the Heat, 120-112 in overtime to improve to 16-13, and you heard it all right here in your home for Warriors basketball. It's 95.7 The Game.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.